Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. With over 150,000 audiobooks to choose from, Audible.com is a premier destination for spoken word content. Stay tuned for a special offer for a free audiobook. Tango Tango Papa 1772, September 10th, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from home. So I've been home, today was the third day, so I have 2 days left, Wednesday and Thursday, and then I'm set to go back to work on Friday. So, of course my parents are still here for the summer, and they'll be around a while longer, so I've been kind of doing as I usually do, hanging out with them as much as I can, and having lunch with the various friends and so on and so forth. Kind of been also riding my motorcycle around, and just sort of relaxing, and the idea is to sort of be completely away from trucking for about 5 days, and then usually at that point I'm ready to go back to work once again. So in any case, it's been kind of hot, actually. The temperature has been every day that I've been home, the high temperature's been in the 90s. It's not terrible. The humidity's been relatively low, so it's really not that bad. Now, of course, I say that if I were out working in it, in the heat, it might be a different story. But most of the time, I'm spending a good chunk of time indoors, obviously, and then when I am outside, kind of riding the motorcycle or whatever, I'm not really exerting myself, so I'm not really sweating much. So, but as I say, I've just been kind of taking it easy, sort of sort of doing this and doing that. I've been one of the things I've been kind of playing with while I've been home is video. I did put together a little video yesterday and uploaded it to YouTube. I went ahead finally and bought the iMovie for the iPad, for my iPad. I have an iPad 2, and so I bought iMovie for it finally. And I found out that my phone, the videos that my phone records, my Galaxy S2 or S3 rather, are pretty much compatible with iMovie, so iMovie is able to use them directly. I had a little bit of a problem figuring out what is the best way of getting the movies from my Android phone to the iPad camera roll. That's a little bit of a trick. It's not difficult if you kind of know the right combination. And so it turns out, you can trial wirelessly. It's not impossible, but it's really difficult. I found a couple of different applications that would actually do it. They would actually download the files from a service like Google Drive, and then they would actually export the video to the iPad's camera roll. But there's a catch. They give you so many free times, and then they want to start charging you to do that. And so that was the end of that. But I did find out the way to do it. What you have to do is, like in my case, I plug my Galaxy S3 into my MacBook here, and I've got a Mac version of an Android file transfer utility so that you can see the contents of the Android phone. Brings it up in a sort of a file window or a finder window on the Mac that's similar to a finder window. And so then you just highlight the files that you want. You find them, highlight the files you want, and then you just drag them to a folder on the Mac. And I'm sure the process would be very similar on if you were using Windows. But of course, I'm using the Mac. But in any case, copy them over to the folder on the computer. And then what you have to do is, I have, of course, iTunes. And so then you plug the iPad into the computer. And, of course, iTunes, you have to have the iPad synced with iTunes. And then the easy way to do it is to, if you have a folder set up on the iPad, and this would be similar for an iPod or an iPhone, you have a folder set up with pictures in it, and then you go into iTunes and you tell it you want to transfer all of the pictures out of that folder, and then there's a little checkbox to tell it to include videos. And so you put that check mark in there, and then you sync it, and it copies the files across right into the camera roll. And, where an application such as iMovie then is able to access those files. And so it's a fairly straightforward process if you sort of know the combination. There are various ways of doing it, like I say, but this is the easiest way. You can do it pretty quickly. But I've been kind of playing around with iMovie. iMovie on the iPad is actually, it's sort of a simple little program if you compare it to a more complex video editor such as Final Cut Express or Final Cut Pro, certainly. Or I guess now, what is it, Final Cut X, which I never did buy. But I have a version of Final Cut Express. And that's, you use on the computer, and that's, you can do some pretty sophisticated things with that. But with iMovie on the iPad, you can do some, kind of simple, quick little things and kind of quickly end up with a kind of a neat little video out of it. So, but it, it's kind of nice that, my phone will actually produce files that the iPad can and that iMovie application can actually use directly. So that's kind of interesting that sort of works out. So it's really, I don't know. You could, I guess the ultimate solution from Apple's standpoint is if you had all Apple stuff, you had an Apple phone and an Apple iPad and so on and so forth, and with everything being Apple, then it would be easier to transfer things directly wirelessly. Otherwise, you'd still have to go through, plug it in and go through iTunes. But, you'd still have to, if you could do it wirelessly as far as, record using the camera on the phone to, like an iPhone to record, or an iPod to record the video with, and then move it on to the iPad and that, where you can edit it, because you could do it on the phone or you could do it on an iPod, but it, because of the tiny screen size, it's much easier to do it on an iPad. The iPad is actually kind of a large enough screen to do simple video editing on without, it's pretty easy process. Without a regular computer with something like Final Cut Express, then you've got the full-blown video editor with timeline and the whole thing. can become a, you know, it's a much more involved process, but obviously you can do some very sophisticated things with it that you can't do with iMovie on the iPad. So, but anyway, I've been kind of playing with that, and you know, I dug out, I have this Aptek camera that I bought, I don't know, several years ago. I've had it for several years now. It was kind of a cheap HD camera. And the problem with it, you know, you have, you know, all of these digital cameras seem to have what's called a CMOS chip, an imaging chip. And the problem with CMOS imaging chips is that you get this, it's called barrel roll, and you get this barrel roll effect where, you know, if you wiggle the thing around, it the video sort of squirms around like it's jello. You have this sort of a jello effect. Now, if you have a CCD imaging chip, like what I have, like that Sony HD camcorder that I have that records to DV tape, you know, the high definition with it, there is no barrel roll. It works flawlessly. But that's a charge couple device. But every one of them that I've seen that, you know, that records to a chip uses a CMOS imaging chip. And I'm sure there must be a reason for that as opposed to using a charged couple device. But the problem, as I say, if you use a CMOS chip, even if you're using a digital SLR for the recorder, you still have that problem. Now, you know, I was walking around in Best Buy as well as Walmart, I guess, yesterday afternoon, and I noticed, you know, both of them have set up. You know, you've heard of this GoPro, these little cameras, and, you know, they've really aimed them at sports. It's supposed to be kind of like a sports camera, and it's just a small thing, and they sell, you know, different accessories with it. They have a video, a little monitor set up on there with this really great-looking, spectacular, colorful sports videos. And supposedly they're using GoPro cameras. Well, I'm sure they are, but the video looks spectacular, and there's no barrel roll or this shutter roll. I said barrel roll, but I think it's shutter roll. It's shutter roll is the actual term. I'm kind of brain dead. Shutter roll. There is no shutter roll effect on this video that they're showing, and we recorded this with a GoPro. Well, they've done something to it. Because if you go to the GoPro website, now those things sell for $199, and then you can buy a super duper version, you know, at Best Buy, the price goes up, and now at Walmart they just have the $199 version. But if you go to the GoPro website where people are actually uploading their own videos, they do suffer from shutter roll. You know, and it's very pronounced. It's there. You can see it easily. So I don't know if there is software that you can use to try to get rid of that. I'm not really too sure of it, you know, what that software would be, but I know there are, you know, if somebody's making professional videos, let's say they're recording some, you know, making a movie with a digital SLR, and of course those have CMOS chips and they have the shutter roll problem, there are ways of kind of mitigating it, but you know, it is a problem, and it's kind of a problem. But so in any case, this Aptek camera really kind of suffers from it. Certain modes are worse than others. But as far as trying to get that into the iPad, it's pretty hard. Now, I can do it, you know, I can do it on, like if I want to use Final Cut Express, then I have to convert that video so that it'll work with Final Cut Express. And I can make videos with it, but it's kind of a pain in the rear. It's very time consuming. So what I'm looking for is just to kind of minimize the time. Now, obviously, the ideal solution is to record the video and then be able to put the video together on the same device that you're using to record and then upload it directly from there. Now, I can do a rudimentary version of that from my phone. It is possible to stitch videos together and kind of send them up to YouTube, but then you can't really, there are some just really simple video editors for Android, but they none of them are as good as iMovie is for the iPad. Now, of course I could use the iPad, but the iPad's kind of big and clunky to be carrying around as a camera. I have the phone in my pocket a lot of times, and so it just makes it a whole lot easier to use. So this afternoon, I went out, rode my motorcycle out to Devil's Den State Park and recorded a bunch of video clips, and then I copied those, got those over on the iPad, and then so this evening I made about a 3-minute video with all those clips that I recorded. Now, right now, I'm trying to upload it to YouTube, but so far I'm not having very good luck. sometimes, it's highly dependent. If I use the DSL connection I have here at home, that tends to be a little bit more reliable, but it's slow. And the Verizon connection, here at home right now, it's just, it's working, but the 4G is working, the Verizon 4G, but as far as uploading goes, it's sort of flaky, and so I haven't had any really good luck uploading those large completed video files to YouTube through that. However, the video that I made today, like I say, I'm trying to upload it right now. It's trying to upload through the DSL connection, and that is going very slowly so far. So, it'll get up there eventually. But in any case, I'm kind of having fun with that. And, of course, I mentioned in the last podcast, I bought that dash camera, and pretty happy with it. The only thing that I'm not happy with the dash camera is that it produces AVI files, and of course you can upload those directly to YouTube, and that's kind of what I've done so far with it. But then again, if I want to incorporate those into a video, especially if I wanted to do, incorporate it into a video on the iPad, I would actually have to convert those files from that format, from the AVI format, into a format that the iPad would accept. And the iPad is actually very picky about what it'll take. But now, so in the meantime, before I bought that camera, that dash camera, I was kind of looking on Amazon, and I ended up, I found this one for $30, and so $30 isn't that much. So I went ahead and ordered that from Amazon. It's another dash camera, and if nothing else, either take it with me when I go in the truck, certainly, or eventually I may just put it, have one in my pickup. But for $30, there are reviews about it. It's like K2000 is the, if you type K2000 into YouTube, K2000 cam, you'll get a ton of reviews, and so it is sort of a popular camera around the world, and there are reviews about, reviews, people have reviewed it. There are some fairly decent reviews on YouTube that, where people have reviewed it, And that's actually a pretty decent, a pretty nice camera. And it may produce, I don't know if it's producing .mov files, or it may even be producing .mp4. And if it does, that would be better, actually, to, you know, then the trick would be, would it be compatible with the iPad? So we'll just have to wait and see. But for $30, I figured I couldn't go wrong, you know, so. You know, because I've wasted more than $30 on a lot of stuff. So that's kind of what I've been up to the past few days. And just, like I say, just kind of doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I've got two more days to go. So anyway, I have an audio comment here sent by Michael Moss, so I want to go ahead and play that and respond to it. So here is Michael, but before I go on too long, what I want to do is talk about Audible. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/truckertom, you can sign up for a free audiobook. And I've been a member of Audible for several years now. I've gotten a bunch of books from them. I'm on the plan where I get, you know, I get one free book a month, or it's not free. I actually, you know, I'm paying the whatever it is per month for the one book a month plan, and then I get a credit, and then I get one credit per month. And so when that credit becomes available, then I pick out, you know, they have like a wish list of books. It's good idea to periodically spend time on that, on the Audible website, and just sort of look at various books. And they do give you free samples of all of the titles. They've got over 150,000 titles, which is just unbelievable. They do give you free samples of the books, so you can kind of listen to them and a little bit of them, and sort of determine, is that something you're really interested in? And if it is, then you just put, you know, what I do, I'll spend some time on there, and I'll add stuff to the wish list. And that wish list is a very convenient way of kind of keeping track of various books that sound very interesting that I think I want to listen to later. Once credit becomes available. So that's how I handle that. And so I'm on the one book a month, and so you get this credit, and then, but the interesting thing about the credit, this credit system that they have, is that the prices will vary. Yeah, you know, some of the books are 30, you know, the books I've been listening to lately are like $30 or more, $35, but, or one credit. And some books are cheaper than that, but they're still one credit. And in very rare instances, there are some of them that are actually take more than one credit. But I've seen that. It seems to me I've seen those on there before, but they weren't anything that I was interested in. But in any case, it's being able to listen to these books is really a wonderful thing, being able to essentially consume them without having to spend the time reading them. And the problem I have is that I have plenty of listening time when I'm driving the truck, but not very much reading time. The amount of reading time that I have is pretty limited, but, you know, it's relatively limited. But I've got plenty of listening time while I'm driving. And that is a really excellent way, because you can continue to learn things. You know, I'm curious. I've always been curious about the world. And I'm curious about how people think. And I'm curious about not only how people think, but I'm also curious about books that present facts. And it's really a great way that I've found to sort of expand the amount of knowledge that I have. And You know, some things, you know, the way, you know, if you act out of your, if you're able to act out of your own curiosity, you know, learn out of, especially if you can learn out of your own curiosity, that's really the only way to do it, the best way to do it. And so, you know, there are some things that, you know, kind of go in one ear and out the other. And then there are other things that, that really stick out to me, and I'll remember those things. And, you know, at the time I may not know why I remember something, but then later on something else will come along and that'll stick out, and then something else might stick out, and then all of a sudden those things will go together, and then I'll suddenly find that I understand something that I hadn't thought of it in, you know, in a particular way before. And so Audible is just a great way of being able to spend time. But like I say, I tend to go really for the nonfiction type of books. And I end up kind of using that, the Audible service, as a, really, I guess more or less a way of sort of expanding my knowledge base. And, you know, there's so much history. There's so much that we're just not taught. And, but it's out there. You know, the stuff is available. You know, and, like I say, Audible has 150,000 titles to choose from. And, so that, all that information is available. It's not as if it's being hidden from us. The only reason, if it is hidden, the only reason is because, you know, we've kind of been dumbed down, or we've, and the way you end up becoming dumbed down is someone is able to use your character flaws, you know, especially if you won't look at them, they're able to trigger your character flaws so that, you avoid things, you know, and that's kind of what the public school system does that. You know, to a large extent, parents sometimes, you know, the parents kind of do it, but certainly the public school system does it. They make things so dry and so boring and try to make you memorize facts and what have you. And, you know, it's, they present things in such a dead way that, you know, in my case, when I was in school, I just kind of, you know, shut my mind off. And, you know, the only thing that I really, the best part about school for me was, you know, the schools that I went to had all these wonderful school libraries. And so I would spend hours and hours and hours with library books, just kind of out of my own curiosity, reading about things that I was curious about. And, you know, that's the only thing that really kind of... The only really bright spot when I was in school, being, you know, when I was in certainly in grade school and then later in high school, I was still able to kind of, you know, without even knowing that I was doing it, I was sort of learning, sort of naturally learning out of my own curiosity. And so Audible.com, that service really lends itself, if, you know, if you're curious about the world. And you want, you know, and you like learning out of your own curiosity, Audible is an excellent way of doing it. So audible.com/truckertom, one free audiobook. So anyway, let me go ahead and play Michael's comment. So here is Michael.
Hey, Tom. Hope you're doing good, man. Here's something for the podcast. This is a topic you've brought up before. I wanted to kind of pick your brain on it. Where you've made the comments on your podcast before that you, when somebody pays you a compliment, that you always say thank you, which is cool and everything. I don't, or either try not to, or I don't let it make my day, because that can appease the wrong side of my ego. And once in a great while, somebody does, quote-unquote, make my day, though it's rare. I will say it's rare. So I guess I'm just trying to see where you're coming from on that.
Okay, Michael. Well, thank you. So what he's talking about, and I know the the something came through and it caused a notification sound and it caused Michael to drop out there a little bit. What he's talking about, and I've told this a million times, but it's worth repeating, and it's absolutely worth understanding. If somebody gives me a compliment, let's say they, whatever the compliment is, it could be a new shirt, it could be shoes, it could be, in my case, I get noticed all the time because I have all these tattoos, and it's constant. So the problem, if I allow... and we're taught this as little kids, you get a new shirt and then your parents make a, and they're, the people around you, your parents, your grandparents, whoever, make a big deal out of it. Oh, look at little, kind of a big deal. Or look at the new toy. And the kid gets all excited. Well, adults do that too. And the problem with that is that if someone... let's say someone gives you a compliment and they tell you, oh, I love your new car, or I love your new hat, or your new whatever it is, your new shoes, or your, it could be anything, a new shirt, whatever it is. And you get an ego buzz out of it. And you may not even be aware, but it just kind of makes you get a good feeling out of it. It's just as simple as that. Let's say you get this warm, fuzzy feeling out of it, like it's, and somehow you kind of beam, and like as if you were God and you were sort of beaming, and and it just makes you feel good, and you have a better mood as a result of that, and all the so on and so forth. The problem with that, you think, oh, that's a good thing. No, it isn't. It's really a bad thing. Because I'll tell you, for one reason, there's a big problem with that. Because if something in your environment, put it this way, if something in your environment can give you a quote-unquote good feeling, whatever it is, if it's someone paying you a compliment, if your environment can trigger a good feeling in you, you're in trouble. Because the rotten side of your ego instantly becomes addicted to that. And so the person that gave you the compliment, and it doesn't even have to be the same person, it could be a stand-in person, looks alike, smells alike. It could be a stand-in, a type of person or a type of situation where you get a compliment for whatever it is. Maybe you're just doing your job, or you're just, whatever it is. You're just going about your business, but you get a compliment for that. And then, you get this warm, fuzzy feeling out of it. The problem is that your ego is instantly, the rotten side of your ego is instantly addicted to that. And then that person or someone like that person or a situation like that your ego is going to start looking for that because it becomes addicted. Just like crack cocaine, it becomes addicted to that warm, fuzzy feeling, that little buzz you get out of it. And it can be a subtle thing. And if you don't get it, you feel rotten. How is it that your environment can alter your mood? If your environment is able to alter your mood, you're not human. If your environment is able to alter your mood, you're an animal. But you can be easily manipulated, or that same person could come along that you're addicted to their compliments, and all they have to do is just threaten to withhold those compliments, or even worse yet, tell you look terrible. and you're devastated. And so you'll do anything. You know, you're an addict. You know, a drug addict will do anything to get the next fix. And so that becomes a fix. That little warm, fuzzy, you know, seemingly innocent, warm, fuzzy feeling you get out of someone's compliment makes you, you know, that makes you into an addict. You're a drug addict. And it's a deadly addiction. And so, it, you know, you get into that thing, you get into that feeling, you allow that feeling to sort of pull you away from your conscience and make you feel good, because that's really what it's doing. It's kind of pulling you away from the guilty conscience and making you feel good. The problem with it, you know, you can, is that the real problem with it is that it destroys your character. You know, it moves you in the wrong direction. You know, so the ideal situation is that, you know, none of it, that we do not live in a perfect world. This is quite an imperfect world. So the idea is that you could live in the world. Rotten things are going to happen to you sometimes. Good things are going to happen to you sometimes. It's sort of like, you know, it's going to happen. And it's, you know, our brains are always trying to recognize patterns. You know, it's kind of like if you, you know, if you, I don't know if you've ever watched a video where someone's put music in it. Now, sometimes they can time the video so that things happen with the, you know, with the beat. But other times, if you just marry, if you got a piece of video and you just marry, you know, put a soundtrack in there, sometimes, and it's going to just happen at random, if it's a very long video, it will happen. And the faster the music is, the more likely it is to happen on occasion. The music is going to be in sync with the some dramatic thing on screen. And so our brains are always trying to recognize patterns. Well, the problem is that we do the same thing with, you know, those good things that happen to us and then the bad things that happen to us. You know, or the things that seem to go our way versus things that are going, you know, kind of make it seem like we're going backwards. So our brains are always trying to recognize patterns. And but the problem, you know, so you live in the world, but if you're really, if you don't take the compliment in the first place, you know, in the wrong way, you know, if you, someone gives you the compliment, you say, thank you, that's fine. But you don't, do not, it's deadly. If you allow your ego to, you know, it kind of makes you beam, and sometimes it can happen before you even know it. You know, if you really get a you know, like a warm, fuzzy feeling out of it, well, that means that, you know, I can tell you this, if you get a warm, fuzzy feeling out of something, then, you know, it's not going to be too long, and you're going to have the, you know, the opposite effect. You know, and the higher, you know, the higher you go, the bigger the crash is going to be, the deeper it is. There is no such thing as happiness. You know, not in the way we think. There is such a thing as happiness. It's not being unhappy. You know, as I've explained before, if you have your health, you're healthy, and it's, you don't feel healthy. You just feel normal. But if your health is gone, if you suddenly become sick and your health is gone, then you you've got a discomfort, and then you want to get your health back. When you were healthy, you just felt normal, and you didn't realize what you had. Well, so happiness is really the absence of anxiety. But but anxiety, you know, getting those warm, fuzzy feelings out of someone giving you a compliment is not the cure for anxiety. In fact, that brings on more anxiety. Because when you get the warm, fuzzy feeling out of compliment, you know, out of your environment, basically, you're getting warm, fuzzy feeling, that's actually, you're actually moving away from who you could be. You're actually, that actually helps to drive a wedge between yourself and the source of your, you know, the source of your identity, your creator. And so it's really, you know, it's not something you know, people will approach something like that and they'll say, well, I know I shouldn't do that, but I do it anyway. You know, it's kind of like a little secret, you know, you have your little secret chocolate stash or whatever. You know, I know I shouldn't do that, but I do it anyway, kind of thing. Well, in this case, you know, it's not something you can't strive not to do it. That's, you're wasting your time if you're striving to, you know, I hear people say, well, I'm trying to be moral and so on and so forth, like it's some sort of a thing that they have to try to attain. You can't. Can't do it. Out of, you know, you can't do it out of your own will. It's not possible. What you have to do is understand how bad it is. You know, really, if you can understand what it's doing, it's taking you away from your creator. It's taking you away from your God-given identity, taking you away from that source. If you can really understand that, then it becomes easy to just not take the compliment in the first place. Because if you don't take the compliment in the first place, you know, in a wrong way, you know, kind of the wrong side of your ego puffs up, if that doesn't happen in the first place, then you don't have a problem in the second place. And then, you know, people can give you compliments all day long, and they're just words. You know, it's just, and words are just a series of noises. How is it possible that you can get a feeling out of a series of noises? You know, something's wrong, if that's the case. So it's really a bad thing. It's really bad, you know, the problem is, it's really bad for your overall well-being. You know, because you know, the rotten side of your ego tends to think, oh, it's a good thing to have that warm and fuzzy feeling. You know, someone says, you know, tells you how nice you are, or how nice, by extension, you know, you've identified with your new car, you've identified with your new whatever it is, or, you know, or whatever it is, you've identified with that when you should be identifying with your creator. You know, you're identifying with something external. And, you know, so it's taking you away. It's moving you in the wrong direction. So if you can really understand that, then at some point it does become very easy to just realize, you know, that the stove is hot, don't touch it, basically. So, you know, you put on, you know, if you're going to take something out of the oven, you get yourself a good pair of oven gloves, oven mittens, you know, and you become very careful, because then you realize that warm and fuzzy feeling that you thought was so good was actually bad, you know. And it's interesting that the wrong side of the ego can think that someone paying you a compliment can, you know, it kind of can make you feel good, but in reality, all it's doing is pulling you away from the thing you really should be identifying with. You know, so we, you know, to change the language, change the words a little bit, you know, we're identifying, you know, you use compliments would be one way of sort of identifying with the external world, instead of, you know, and at the same time sort of moving away from identifying with the creator. Because if you can identify with your creator, if you can kind of get over the guilt aspect, and the, you know, and the anxiety because you're running, you're moving in the wrong direction. If you can kind of get past that, then your creator, you know, that's the source of a genuine identity, and there's no anxiety associated with it. That's the direction you want to move in. And so it's, but it, you know, it's, Rome wasn't built in a day, as the old saying goes, and you're not going to become perfect overnight. But it's, you know, I'm trying to explain this in as good of a way as I possibly can, but at the same time, you have to have the desire to understand what I'm saying. And that requires, that really does require you to be as, you know, try to, you know, to become as objective as possible. And so that's why I, you know, want the, you know, I have that meditation on my website. If you go to TruckerTomPodcast.com, up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Excuse me. So you click on that link. There's there's MP3 files on there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on your iPod or whatever, your MP3 playback device, burn them to a CD, whatever. And those files will teach you the simple, it's a very simple meditation process, and it's just a process to help you practice sort of bringing your the point of awareness out of your thoughts. Because most of us are sort of caught in our, you know, in this endless loop of thought. It goes around and around and around. And this meditation technique helps you practice, you know, kind of staying in the moment. Because that's where our creator is God is in the moment. He's not in the present, or he's not in the past. He's not in the future. He's in the moment. And as long as we're caught up in all these thoughts, you know, we're sort of trapped, sort of enslaved to, you know, enslaved to those thoughts. And kind of enslaved, you know, enslaved to the, you know, not only thoughts, but emotions and so on and so forth. And so, you know, genuine happiness is sort of, it's just the absence of anxiety. But again, you know, you'd never know what that is. You know, Adam and Eve, to go back to the Adam and Eve story, you know, here was the, you know, perfect human beings. They had, you know, in a sense, you know, they had perfect health, but they had perfect happiness. But they didn't know that, they didn't know what they had. They lost it. You know, Adam took a bite of the apple, and then when God confronted him, what did he do? He blamed Eve. You know, the woman you gave me, she made me do it. She offered it to me. You know, whatever it was, they say it's an apple, but it was actually, you know, it's forbidden fruit. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, Adam lost that relationship. He lost that, he was created perfectly sort of identifying with his creator. He was created that way. And he, you know, the temptation was too great, and he ruined that relationship. So we have the opportunity, because we're, you know, there's this idea we're their descendants. We're, you know, we're born in sin, in other words. So we're born separated. We're born, you know, sort of partially identified with the world, and, you know, with a potential to identify with our creator. And so salvation is really to be saved from having, you know, to be, you know, enslaved to identifying with the world. salvation is really, you know, being saved from that, and then we can come back and identify with our Creator. But to identify with your Creator is not, it's not emotional, you know, in the way you think it is. It's not emotion. You're not all excited and so on. If, you know, if you get excited and you have an excitement of any kind, that's fake. It's a lie. If, you know, because excitement, that kind of excitement appeals to the wrong side of our ego. And of course, human beings are very, very adept at making excuses for that and, you know, twisting things all around so they never have to face reality. But if you, you know, you have to really want to know what the truth is, to, you know, and you have to continue to pursue it. So, but, you know, if, you know, getting back to Michael's question there, if you, at the a very rudimentary level, if someone is able to give you a compliment and you take that compliment and you get a warm and fuzzy feeling out of it, you just, you know, you feel good about it and you just beam and, you know, you're really kind of playing God. You feel good. You're feeling, you know, feel God. You feel like God. And you're actually moving away from identifying with the real God. You're separating to become your own God. And, but we all have to go through that. We, you know, we're, as I said, you know, we're born in sin. We're sort of born, with a proclivity to sort of identify with the outside world. We're born with a proclivity to want to play God within our, you know, within our own minds and sort of have the wrong relationship. We're born with a proclivity to have the wrong relationship with our Creator, is another way of putting it. So, you know, the best thing to do is if you can understand what that really is, and understand that, you know, that getting a feeling out of something that happens, you know, getting this wrong side of your ego, sort of getting a charge out of anything that happens in the world, or with other your interaction with other people, getting the, you know, this warm and fuzzy feeling out of it. If you understand that that is really, you know, bad for you, and, you know, it separates you from identifying with your Creator. If you can kind of come to understand that, then it's, as I say, it becomes easy to not do it. And then, like I say, then if someone gives you a compliment, you just, thank you, not a problem, thank you, you know, and then you just go on. And it was neither, it was a completely neutral sort of feeling. That's kind of, if you want a goal, that's the goal, is to get to where you it's neither, it's just a neutral feeling. Or, and, you know, but at the same time, then if someone says you look like hell, or you look rotten, or you look like you're about to keel over, or your car looks like crap, or, you know, you look like a hooligan with, you know, those pants are down around your ankles, and whatever it is, or if it, you know, they make fun of the way you look, or, you know, it could be anything, then you're not subject to it. Because then that doesn't, because once, see, that's the other part of it. Once you, if you allow something to make you feel good, then you are vulnerable, you are perfectly vulnerable, whether you like it or not, to someone telling you to look bad, you know, or giving you a dirty look. You know, there's this term stink eye, you know, it's kind of a Hawaiian thing, you know, where, you know, you give someone the stink eye, you know, you give them this look, and, you know, someone gives you that look. Well, you know, if you're vulnerable to compliments, you know, getting a feeling out of compliments, then you're going to be vulnerable to that look, and you're going to, you know, become, whether you like it or not, it's not a matter of whether you want to be vulnerable or not. It's, you know, you're a slave. Because once you accept a compliment, you know, and you get a feeling, sort of this ego feeling out of a compliment, then you are enslaved to either, you know, those the compliments or the sort of the anti-compliments of the world, of the people around you. So the goal is, as I say, the goal is to just come to, you know, a point where someone can give you a compliment, and but you know, and you say thank you, but it's sort of a neutral feeling. And there is no feeling at all. It's just thank you. You know, someone, it would be kind of like, you know, if you're paying your, let's say you're buying something in a store, and you give the person the money, and the person gives you your change back, and you say thank you. And it was just no exchange took place as far as emotions. You know, you can be pleasant and all that, but nothing. There's nothing else that comes along with interaction. See, and that's. Because if you take a compliment the wrong way, you're interacting, and it's more than what meets the surface. You're actually kind of taking on a little bit of the identity. You're identifying with the person that pays you the compliment, if you get something out of it, and therefore you're moving in the wrong direction. You're moving away from your creator. You're moving away from your God-given identity. And so that, you know, it's just, that's probably about as good as I can explain that. It's, if you can get the concept in your head, then it's a relatively simple concept. But it's really a good thing if you can understand what it is, and then understand the why behind it, then it, as I say, if you can really understand that, then it becomes a whole lot easier to simply learn not to do it in the first place. And if you don't do it, if you don't take the compliment the wrong way in the first place, then you're not manipulated in the second place. Somebody can't come along and jerk the rug out from under you and manipulate you. You know, let's say you go into a used car sales, you know, the so-called, like a used car sales lot. And, you know, the used car salesmen, some of them are very adept at sort of turning on the charm and making you feel like you're their long lost friend and so on and so forth, and you know, kind of massaging the wrong side of your ego. And of course, if you know, they can see it, they can see you a mile away. You know, you glow to them. You know, so they're able to massage your ego and make you feel good, make you feel God, in other words. And then they put the screws to you, you know, get you to buy the car, get you to buy whatever they want you to buy. And, you know, you come away and you maybe you realize you got manipulated, and maybe you're rationalizing it away. You know, that you, so that you don't have to see that you got manipulated. You just kind of rationalize it away. But people are able to see you coming, and if you get manipulated, then you really deserve it. You know, that's the other part of it. If you get manipulated, then you really deserve to get manipulated. If you're vulnerable to being manipulated, then you sort of do deserve it. So that's just the way the world works. You know, it's not, you know, because a lot of people say, well, it shouldn't be that way, you know. Like, we're going to change the world, you know, do away with, outlaw certain words so that, you know, I feel better about myself, you know, which is, it's silly, you know. So, but if you can, the ideal, you know, because you're never going to make the world perfect, but you can, what you can do is have a more perfect and ever more perfect relationship with your Creator. And if you can do that, you know, you're identifying more perfectly with your Creator. The more perfectly you're able to identify with your Creator, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're in the world, you know, and you're interacting with people, and you look like every other person does, but that mysterious hidden part, whatever it is that makes up your identity, you know, and it's kind of an invisible part, that is not of the world. But if you, another way of putting it would be, you know, if someone is able to make you feel good, or they're able to make you feel bad, then that just should tell you, well, you're of the world. Because if you're of the world, you can be manipulated. And so that's a good barometer. It's a good litmus test. If someone's able to make you feel good, or if they're able to make you feel bad, then, or, you know, person, place, or thing, because it's usually people, but it could be places and things as well. If a person, place, or thing can make you feel good or bad, you're of the world. And so that's just a good little litmus test. So anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. So thank you, Michael. That was an excellent question. And I really enjoy those kind of questions, because it gives me a chance to sort of elaborate, you know, and maybe hopefully make it a little bit more clear. You know, sometimes it's easier to do that than it is other times. So in any case, hope everyone is having a great week. Excuse me. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.